the love he's shown to me. Boy, God is good, isn't he? I was reading in an article, and this is not part of the message, but I was reading an article this week about a man. About this happened 7, 8, 9 years ago. Some of you may remember it, but there was a family from up north that was flying to Florida for vacation. It was a man and his wife and had a 14-year-old and I think a 12-year-old. The plane crashed and went down, and the father of the children was home. This was a stepdad, and word came to him, and his son said he went over and dug through some cassette tapes, and he pulled out the tape of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And he said he sang all verses and talked about it, and he said later on he took the boys, they were down at the coast, took them out on the beach, and he had two other boys that were teenagers. He put his arm around them and told them as they looked out, said, we're overlooking the gravesite of our children. And the father there again said, God is so good. And when they left, one of the teenage boys turned to the other one and he said, that's messed up. How can God be so good when your children are gone? Friend, God can be good in all circumstances of life. And truly today, we all need to be able to say, it is well with my soul. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I want to share with you a thought today. Staying encouraged in a discouraging world. I tell you today, I've gotten to the point where I've just almost turned my news off. I listen to it. Most of it's rehashed over and over again. But I tell you, what you hear is discouraging. The things that's going on around our nation and all the things that are said and being done. The COVID thing is really been a trying thing with a lot of people affected by that. And if you're not careful, you can get discouraged. I've always been kind of a person that was upbeat and nothing seemed to bother me too much. But I'll be honest with you, the last year or so, I have felt tinges of discouragement in some ways, not to the point of anything, of feeling that depressed or anything, but it's easy to get discouraged. And today we find a scene in which David, in our text, has one of the most trying situations that anybody could get in, and he got discouraged. I'm just going to read verse 6 to begin with, and then we're going to go back and look at verses 1 through 8. But the Bible said, and David was greatly distressed. Again, that shows that a child of God can be discouraged and distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. That's enough to depress him. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I want to share with you a few thoughts today that I hope be a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to you. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you for the illustrations that you give to us. Lord, we thank you. In spite of it all, we're grateful that you included David in the Word of God, even though there was times he slipped and fell. There was times that he backslid and got away from you. Lord, he always knew where to go back to. And Father, we know that he knew where to encourage himself, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. And so, Lord, I ask now that you would guide and direct, have your willing way, we pray, and we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray, amen. Now, David and his men had been excluded from the war between the Philistines and the Israelites. However, we find that he's soon fixing to go to war against the Amalekites. The cause of the war for the Amalekites was the destructiveness of the city of Ziklag. If you remember, when David and his men arrived back at their home in Ziklag, and we'll read that in just a moment, they found that the city had been burned to the ground, and all the people were gone from there, including their wives, their children, and all that they had. And so again, they were soon to go to battle with Ziklag because they were ready to fight them, and anybody would be, especially, it's bad enough to burn the city, but it's even worse to take your family into captivity. I want to share with you, just by way of introduction before we get to the message, about Ziklag. Ziklag was a place of tragedy. If you would, read with me, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives, they were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. I don't know of anything that would anger me any more than to somebody to mess with my family, my children, my grandchildren. And I think any man here, and hopefully a lot of women too, would do whatever it took to fight for that. So you imagine how they must have felt when they come back. It's a tragedy that the city of Ziklag was burned. I thought today, and just kind of relating it, we see that happening even in our cities today. There are cities today that are being ruined and burned, and they're doing it for whatever. I don't know what the reason is or what the cause is, but I can tell you this, it's a great tragedy. It's something that ought to really hang in our hearts and understanding. Now, Ziklag was a town which Achish, the Philistine king, had given to David and his men to dwell in, to live there and have all their belongings. So David and them had moved there, and that's where they were. And then we find that when he comes back, the city's been burned, everybody's gone, and the culprits of that was the Amalekites. The Amalekites had come in and destroyed it. Now, the Amalekites had been a thorn in the flesh of Israel for a long time. You read it all the way through the Word of God, and you'll find that. But the Amalekites' attack reflected their cowardly character. It's one thing when you do something to somebody's face or do it where they can defend themselves, and there's others when you slip in and do it when nobody's looking, thinking that you can get by with it. I remind you, there's nothing that you can get by with. But I know that the Amalekites, they literally reflected that cowardly and cruel character in what they did. They were sneaky. And so we find now David comes back and all is gone. R.P. Smith said this. He said, "We have ample proof that this race were utterly hostile to all order and quietness. It lived by the plunder of others and sheltering itself in the recesses of the wilderness. Broke out thence on every opportunity to carry ravage and ruin into all the neighboring districts. The Amalekite was thus every man's enemy and the object of universal dislike." So we find the Amalekites were not very popular people. They were popular, but for the wrong reason. So David learned a lesson from the Amalekites, the attack on Ziklag, and one that we need to learn too. The sober truth is that when you attack evil, cruelty will not take it lightly. The forces of evil will not hesitate to burn down Ziklag or anything else they can get their hands on because they're destructionists, they're cowards, and they're cruel in all that they do. However, we find in this passage, the Lord had no time at that time for the Amalekites, whether they be Israel's enemies or whether they be church dissidents. He'll deal with that in the judgment. The Lord will take care. Listen, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Not only was it a place of tragedy, but it was a place of tears. Look at verse number 4. "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." I don't know whether you've ever cried that long or not, but if you have, you know that there will be exhaustion that will come from that. You'll be at your wit's end and be literally without strength. Tears of sorrow when David and his men returned to Ziklag. They had no way of knowing. According to the scripture here, it said they didn't kill any of them, but they took them all captive. But here they come back and find out that they're gone and think about the devastation of it all. Recently, I've heard, and it happens all the time, but I read of ladies that maybe get in the car and headed across country going somewhere, and they disappear. A lady just this past week, of course, she had some mental problems, I think, and she was supposed to be going to Birmingham, Alabama to get some help. But somewhere around Memphis, Tennessee, I don't know if this is what she did. It appears she drove into one of those cargo containers and died from carbon monoxide poison. And I imagine how devastating it must have been on the family. I could go on and on. There was a jogger this week that was killed. There's things that happen all the time. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know of anything that would tear me up any more than for my family to be taken captive or taken away. I think of people that have people in service that are overseas, and they're serving our country, and they get captured. And then some never come back, but even if they do come back, they're not in a very good state. We can take losing material possessions, right? I hear people often say hurricanes, tornadoes come, rain, fire, whatever it is, it destroys the house. And they interview the people and say, well, what do you think? And they say, well, we just thank God that we're alive. We're not worried about all those possessions. That can be replaced. But you can't replace your children. and you can't replace yourself. It's a place of tears. And cried till they couldn't cry anymore. I can't imagine. Then Ziklag was a place of treachery. And the reason for that is because David had a terror of being stoned. The Bible said in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. Now understand, this stoning was to take place by his own people. This stoning threat culminated his many problems over a few years. David was a man of problems, if you will. If we go back, we could talk about many of the problems that he has, but it was followed by many other Israelites siding with the king and David. And then came the rejection of the Philistines in throwing him out of their army, which was followed by the Amalekites burning the city. Now his followers want to stone him. This stoning threat was indeed painful. I'm going to tell you today, I'm glad stoning is a thing of the past. I don't think that would be a fun activity to be involved in. I think how painful it would be and how terrible it would be. But greater than that is the people that want to stone you is the people that have been following you. The people that you walk with, talk with, fellowship with, maybe even gone to church with or whatever. And sometimes they turn on you and they go against you. And because of that, it causes great pain and sorrow. I guess I'm hurt often times more by the fact of who it is that's doing the stoning, if you will, and we don't talk it literally. But I'm hurt more by that than I am the stones. You see, the old saying, you say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's just not true. And yet it must have been devastating to David when it seemed that it could get no worse. It did. And the people there wanted to stone him. David said in Psalm 142, verse 4, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. And David said, no man careth for my soul. I want to speak to you this morning on the fact of being distressed and discouraged in your life. And understand today, if you're a child of God, listen, I understand it happens. And I believe it can happen to people that are children of God. I know it can happen to people that are children of God. In fact, I believe it happens to everybody at some time or some point in their life. Maybe not a deep depression, but there comes a time in your life when you know that there's something that's bothering you and keeping you there. First of all, I want you to understand today the reality of discouragement. I used to, as a young preacher, people would talk about being discouraged and depressed. And I'd kind of just blow it off. I didn't blow it off, but I'd say, hey, you know, that's no way for the child of God to be. I guess because I'd never got to that point or even had a bout with it at all. But I believe all of us at some point in our life come to the point of being discouraged and depressed. I think sometimes the makeup of our body may cause us to have thoughts that we don't want to have and think about things that we shouldn't, and many times just get so depressed that we stay away from everything. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, there hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. I love this. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Friend, I want you to know depression may come, discouragement may come, but God is faithful to meet our needs, and it's Him that we have to go through to in the time of need. It's exemplified in the Bible. That's why I know that discouragement comes. The Bible said they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden, and the soul of the people was the much discouraged because of the way. They were leading the children of Israel, and discouragement came. And even though God was providing their needs, I can see how it'd be easy to be discouraged along the way. The Bible said, but when they came into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, it discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. But they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. They got so discouraged, they wouldn't even possess that which God has given. I'm simply saying today, in David's case, we know that he was distressed and discouraged. In the children of Israel's lives, we know that there was times of being distressed and discouraged. And I know this morning, just as sure as I'm standing here, that every one of us from time to time will go through those times. And this is a time when it would be easy to go through those times. However, we must do what we need to do in order that we might attack it. It's evoked by Satan. I think one of the greatest tools Satan used is depression and discouragement. I think it's so easy to get there that way. And somebody said, well, you know, you have to go through it and do it. And it's just, you got to deal with it. Well, I guess you do until you get over it. But friend, I tell you today, we must turn to God. And again, God may not take it away immediately. I realize sometimes it may go a while, but we've got to pursue the fact that this is of the devil, and he's doing everything he can to destroy our minds. The Bible said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Listen today, whatever it is that's bothering you, if you're going through a time of discouragement or distress, remember, David was in a greater situation than even we are today. And I want to encourage you today to do what David did. And that's the second thing I want to look at today is the reaction of David. The Bible said in verse number 6, just the last part of it, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David's reaction to discouragement is the best possible reaction for any child of God. Each of us must learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord alone. It is the privilege and blessing to be able to look to Him for encouragement that we need. The Bible said in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Friend, today, listen, God is real. God hears and answers prayer. God loves you, and God gave His Son for you. And friend, God will be there to strengthen you and help you during your times of discouragement and depression. It may last a while. I can't say that it'd go away immediately, but I can say this. You need to understand today that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. First of all, in our position in the Lord. If you're a child of God, you're in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful today when He saved my soul that He placed me in the family of God and He placed me in Christ. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I tell you today, rejoice this morning. There's one thing about it. I know that I'm in Christ. No matter what comes my way, no matter what thoughts I have, no matter what depression I may go through, I'm glad to know today that I'm in Christ and there's nothing that can separate me from Him. Then there's encouragement in the person. We find in the passage of Scripture we just read, in the Lord His God. In the Lord His God. Not only are we in Christ, but we can be encouraged that in a person, the Lord His God. Jesus is our Lord. He's there for us. He hears and answers our prayers, and He will do for us what we cannot do. First of all, the Lord is a caring person. I tell you today, He cares about you. He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It may seem sometimes that He don't care. I've heard people, and I've heard it often, they said, I've prayed, and it seems as if my prayers don't get past the ceiling. It seems as if God doesn't hear and God doesn't answer. Friend, I can tell you this. If your relationship with Him is where it ought to be, your prayers will get past the ceiling. And God cares about you. If He cared enough to give His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, He cares about you. I don't care who it is. I talk to people sometimes that are out of the will of God, people that are out of church, people that are in places, you know, now maybe they're not where they need to be as far as their relationship with God. But I assure them, if they're saved, our God cares about them. He cares about what they do. And then we need a compassionate person, somebody that'll have compassion. You know, I'm not talking about looking for somebody to have sympathy. Oftentimes people said, I don't need sympathy. Well, you know, I don't need sympathy either. But it sure is nice when you're going through difficulty for somebody to be compassionate and caring. I appreciate the fact of many of you, several of you have called and talked with me this week and asked me how my doctor visit went. And again, I don't say that. That's nothing against anybody that hadn't. I understand I don't call everybody, and sometimes we don't get around to it. But there were several people that called me this week, and it was a great encouragement to me. It's encouraging to hear from the brethren and to know that they care. But what's greater is to know that Jesus cares. The Bible said in Hebrews 4:14-16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know one thing? The Bible said when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. And I don't care what your problem is, what you're going through, what you're experiencing today. He cares about you. He cares about you whether you're lost or saved. If you're lost, he gave his life for you. He wants you to be saved. If you are saved, he cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. You said, I don't know why I'm going through it. We don't know a lot of times why we're going through it, but he does, and he has a purpose for everything that he does. So we have to trust him and depend on him. And then we need a comforting person. In 2 Corinthians 1:3, the Bible said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. I tell you, if you want comfort, we need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our comforter. Oftentimes I hear my wife and different ones talk about they make quilts and all, and they put it on bed and say, call it a comforter. And I guess it is a comforter if it's too cold. It's definitely not a comforter if it's too hot. You get rid of it and get it off. But friend, I want to remind you today, the comforter I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit of God. He's the comforter that'll comfort us in our time of need and whatever it is we go through. If he don't heal us from it, he will deliver us of it. And whatever the outcome will be, it'll be good because God did it. Then we need encouragement in a possession. In the Lord his God. The Bible said in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean, to encourage yourself in the Lord? I tell you how I do it, and I tell you how anybody else ought to do it. I don't believe there's anybody today that could stand up and say today that there has not been, as a child of God, been good times in your Christian life since you got saved. I believe all of us have to stand today, and this guy right here would have to say, praise God for whom all blessings flow. I'm just glad I made it to where I'm at. And I look back, and I'm going to tell you, God has been good. I agree with that man that stood there with his two boys, looked out over the ocean, and said, God is good, even though his children were lost and never found. I tell you, it was because he had a trust in God. But yeah, there's been times we've all gone through difficult times in our life. But how do we do it? How do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? We do it by recalling the past revisions of our life. Go back and think about the times that he answered prayer. Think about the times that he provided the need. I can give you times when God has provided my financial needs. I can give you times when God has blessed and healed from physical need. And I can go on and tell you that God has been good in every circumstance of life. And although I may not understand everything, I can know one thing. God is still on the throne, and he cares about me, and I'm going to rejoice because I would have never got where I'm at today had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ that I have trusted and tried to follow now for these 43 years in serving him and being faithful to him. And I tell you today, I go back, and there I hit some rough road. I'm going through something right now, and most of you know I'm having back problems and having some heart issues, and I go back and I look at that. But I was at the doctor's office again Thursday, and I tell you, every time I go to the doctor's office, I get encouraged. I'm discouraged to see the people in there that can't hardly stand up or can't hardly walk. I'm discouraged to see that for them, but I'm encouraged. Every time I walk out there, I tell my wife, I said, if I start complaining, just tell me to shut my mouth. I don't have nothing to complain about. I'm telling you, God is good. And no matter what comes my way, the little bit of difficulty that I suffer, God has far more taken care of it in the past and done for me what I could do not for myself. The second thing is contemplating the power of God. Friend, I tell you today, I believe we underestimate the power of God. God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or think. I tell you today, contemplating the power of God. Listen, God has the power to deliver you. I say oftentimes, I believe God answers prayer. I believe God heals people. But I don't believe there's a living man on this earth that has the power to heal apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God could allow me to pray for somebody and heal them. But when you get up, I want you to understand, I didn't do that. If you're healed, God did that. And we have seen God work in specific ways. And we talked about on Wednesday night, we've been talking about instances of the Lord coming in contact with people that are crippled and people that have infirmities and whatever. And He's able to heal them. He has the power to do what He chooses to do. He rules the universe. He created the universe. And one day He's going to destroy the universe. But until then, we have an all-powerful God. He is able to do what we can do not for ourselves. And then thirdly, meditating on the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my light unto my path. Can't even say it now, losing it. But it's a light unto my path. And I tell you what, the Word of God, it says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of my God shall stand forever. I'm grateful today for the Word of God. I tell you today, when you get depressed and discouraged, you can read books of people that give suggestions that have gone through it. I'm not opposed to that. But friend, don't neglect the greatest book in the world that'll encourage your heart, strengthen you, and help you. Literally, and it amazes me, and I hear of it happening. I'm grateful when people hear the Word of God and get right. But I hear people that sometimes just pick up a Bible and start reading. And God speaks to them, and they right then and there will accept Christ, or yet it'll change their life to do what they need to do. So encourage yourself in the Lord. Do it by recalling the past provisions, contemplating the great power, and then meditating in the Word of God that stands forever. We see a pursuing now in the third thing, the recovery of the departed. The third point is the recovery of the departed. All right, David's gone through it. He's encouraged himself. He's wept. He don't know where his family is. He's going through one of the most difficult times in his life. And I would say today that I've gone through some bad times, but I've never gone through that where somebody burnt my house and my city down and took my wives and my children. Wives, I didn't have wives. Let me clarify that. Take my wife and children. And I told on myself, right? But anyway, David, it does say in verse 5, David had two wives. Maybe that's what I thought about. But anyway, they were taking captives, and the Bible said, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning. But look at verse 7. It's kind of to a point now where they've wept all they can weep. They've gone through all they can go through. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered to him, pursue, for thou wilt surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Now, I don't know whether you caught that or not. I was just reading it. But I'm going to tell you, that's an exciting verse. Here it is, David, discouraged, depressed, distressed, don't know which way to turn, he don't know what to do, and he goes to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He knows where to go to get his answers. He said, Lord, he was using his head. He was not using his heart as far as what the notion told him to do, because we all know what we'd want to do if we come back and Ziklag had been burned and our wife had been taken away from us and our children. But David inquired of the Lord, and he said, shall I pursue after this troop? And shall I overtake them? Should I go after them? Boy, it's wise when you get God's permission, right? And so God answered him and said, pursue. But not only did he say pursue, he said, thou shalt surely overtake them. In other words, David, you go ahead, and I'm going with you. And you don't have to worry. You're going to win the battle. You're going to overtake them. They're going to be destroyed. And I'm glad today that God works in that way in our life. The pursuing request, God said, go. And then when we get past that part of depression and the things we're going through and whatever we're experiencing, thank God we can turn and pursue that which we need to pursue, whether it be somebody that's wronged us or whether we're just going through life and whatever it needs to be. But David turned to the Lord and he inquired of him. Friend, I don't believe today we ought to be doing anything without inquiring to the Lord. We ought to be pleading with him and begging with him to show us his will and his desire for our life and what direction he'd have us to go. And then when God gives the answer that it's okay to go, and then when God gives the answer that you are going to catch them, you're going to get them and you're going to be able to overtake them, and basically they're going to be yours. The promise that he'd overtake it. You know, I think so many times the Israelites went to battle and God said, I got this. I want to tell you something. We don't hear God audibly. But I can tell you this. God's got this. Whatever it is we're going through, God's got it. He's in total control. And then we see a very prosperous recovery. Look down to verse number 18 and 19. I love this. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered it all. Woo! What a blessing. I tell you, I don't know if he saw it the way I did, but that sure blessed my heart. David wasn't worried now that the city had been burned and probably didn't have a place to go back to or home. But I guarantee you one thing. He had his sons and he had his wives. And he had everything he needed. And twice God said to him, David recovered all. And when I think of all, I think of how God gave him back everything he had. And I tell you, no matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, no matter how discouraged we may get, no matter how much distress we may experience, listen, understand that our God is a great God. He's an awesome God. He's able to do what we cannot do if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. And I tell you today, I hope that our people, all of us, learn in our life this lesson that David learned at Ziklag. There may be nobody that encourages you. I tell you, there may be a time when I'm talking about nobody encourages you. But you do as David did. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Friend, today he said, I couldn't find anybody. I looked on my right and left and no man, he said, cared for my soul. But friend, Jesus cares. And he's able to meet the needs that we have in our life. But could I say this? Sometimes people's distressed because they don't know God. And sometimes they don't know that they don't know God. They just know something's not right, that they're not able to get through, and things don't seem to be working out the way they wanted it to work out. Friend, today, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there'll be a lot of days of discouragement, and then there'll be a great day of discouragement when the Lord comes back or takes you. And I say to you this morning, put your faith and trust in Jesus. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I tell you, the important thing in our life is not what we've done, but what we will do with Jesus in our life. I encourage you, if you don't know Him, trust Him today. He'll save your soul and give you eternal life. Our Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the encouragement that I got from David's life. Lord, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and basically there's no one to turn to in our time of need except Him. And I do pray now that You would bless. I pray that You would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. And I pray today that Your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll be thanking You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.